coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Hello, American families. Welcome to this week's episode of The Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And if you love your family, care about them deeply, and want to learn how to protect them in every facet of your life, then you come to the right place. Great show for you today. We have got one of our sponsors on, Larry Jackson from Elite Firearms. He will be on, and we're going to be talking all about the Smith & Wesson M&P EZ. If you haven't heard about that handgun yet, it's a great handgun designed with women in mind, people with smaller hands, with weaker hands and wrists, less upper body strength. It is easy to pull back that slide. We're going to talk all about that in segments 2 and 3, as well as we'll talk about AR platform builds. We'll talk a little bit about church safety as well. So, hey, going to have a good show. What have I been up to? Well, you know, last week I just published my 13th book. It is entitled Jack Pine Strong, all about Jack Ruger. I love that name, Jack Ruger, from the Upper Peninsula. It is a crime drama, you know, police action adventure type. I loved writing it. I'm already beginning my 14th book. I started this morning. This one is a nonfiction book. I thought I'd take a little bit of a break from novel writing. I love novel writing, don't get me wrong, but I thought I'd work on something a little less creative, use a different part of my brain here. And I'm writing a book called Concealed Carry for Christians. It's like a devotional guide, you know, not overly preachy, but it's basically basically I'm writing it to inspire people to carry safely, to carry more often, to carry more responsibly, and to talk about the spiritual aspects of concealed carry. So I'm hoping to get that done within a couple of months. I just want to keep pumping these books out here. And then after that, I will go ahead and I will start working on book 2 in the Jack Ruger adventure series. Okay, let's launch right into the news now. I've got, this from BearingArms.com. This kind of caught my eye. Virginia State Senator open carries on floor, calls it her ERA. I don't think that means earned run average. Let's read the article and find out. I've never understood feminists and their resistance to firearms. This would be Tom Knighton talking from BearingArms.com. For women who are biologically weaker than men, the most effective way to fend off a larger and stronger predator is to provide an immediate increase in the amount of copper and lead in their body in conjunction with an acute loss of blood. Well, that's an odd way to put it, but okay, but I get it. I get it. In other words, if they attack you, you shoot them. Feminists tend not to get that, but that doesn't mean women don't get that. Virginia State Senator Amanda Chase clearly does. A female state lawmaker in Virginia openly carried a handgun on the Senate floor this week, calling it a deterrent against potential attackers. Well, it would certainly deter me. State Senator Amanda Chase, a first-term Republican who is seeking re-election this year, spoke on the Senate floor Tuesday with a .38 caliber revolver openly strapped to her hip, the Richmond Times-Dispatch reported. You know, that shouldn't even be news. I mean, if state lawmakers want to carry in the Capitol, carry in the Capitol. That shouldn't be a big deal. But apparently, it doesn't happen every day in Virginia. Probably anywhere. Ms. Chase said she always carries concealed in the Virginia State Capitol, but decided to carry the gun openly following an incident Monday in which the police were called on a mob of immigration activists who confronted the Republican. It concerned me, Ms. Chase told the Washington Post about the incident. I've had threats. I've had stalkers since I've been in the General Assembly. I am going to continue to represent the issues that are important to my constituents, and I'm not going to be intimidated by people who would try to physically harm me. Yeah. Well, you know, I guess one of the problems I see is, you know, the people who are intimidating her, harassing her, whatever, they haven't physically attacked her. It's more likely that she's going to need some pepper spray. So I'm hoping that she uses some good pepper spray. I'm also hoping she is very familiar, intimate with the rules on deadly force in her state, because, you know, it's not going to help her reelection campaign if she shoots someone and ends up being charged. But again, she has the right to do that, and I'm okay with her doing that. More power to her. Tom Knighton says, there are, of course, two issues here. One is the growing concern that political confrontations will turn more and more serious until violence happens. It's one thing when there are protests that turn into riots. Those happen, and while they're a problem, that's an understatement, it's not the same as a mob confronting lawmakers they oppose. Then, the object of their frustration is right there. Instead of lashing out aimlessly, trashing businesses and cars, their anger can be directed on the person they blame for whatever reason. Mobs aren't known for being reasonable. True. As a result, I don't blame Chase for not just going armed, but going armed openly. While I'm a supporter of the people's legal right to open carry, I tend to not support it as a tactical decision. I just don't see any reason to advertise that I'm someone who might be able to intervene. I'd rather they find out the hard way. You know, I'm leaning that way, too, for myself personally. You know, when I was younger, stronger, faster, you know, meaner looking, more intimidating, yeah, I would open carry more often. But now that, you know, I'm 61 years old, I am not the intimidating person that I used to be. And I can see where someone would look at me and go, oh, look at the old man. He's got a gun. Let's take it. You know, I know there's some people that are going to go, oh, Skip, that's ridiculous. Show me one instance where that happened and you can do that. Or show me two or show me three. I just, for me personally, I carry less openly now than I used to, simply because I am less able to physically protect that gun. I mean, you know, without actually shooting someone. But hey, that's just me. You're young and strong. You do what you want to do. It's your right. The second issue is the very last quoted line. This is something I wish more women understood. While feminists can scream about teaching men to not rape or how society needs to adjust, the fact of the matter is that there will always be bad actors in society. You got that right. There will always be those who would rather prey upon others than to get with whatever program is being pushed. There will always be those who will take what they want from those they see as weaker than them. No Equal Rights Amendment will change that, but Chase's version of the ERA will. Feminist, if you want to teach a man to not rape, put some extra holes in their buddies when they try it. That'll work. That'll send a message loud and clear throughout the world that women are not to be preyed upon. That is empowerment. You know, I don't understand why more women don't want to be empowered. I don't get it. I mean, I understand to some point, but hey, listen, I'm not the first man who doesn't totally understand women. So, hey, get off my back. All right. Good article there. All right, here's something a little closer to home here. Got this from mlive.com. Grand Rapids Housing Commission's no-gun policy unconstitutional, lawsuit alleges. This is from today. A Grand Rapids man has filed a lawsuit in federal court against the Grand Rapids Housing Commission, arguing that the organization's anti-weapons policy is unconstitutional. I would not live in a place that wouldn't let me have a gun there. That's just crazy. James Vance Jr., 61, filed an amended complaint earlier this month with the U.S. District Court in Grand Rapids. The original filing was in late October, and the Housing Commission has yet to file its response with the court. Vance Jr. argues that the policy prohibits him from keeping his legal property on the premises of his place of residence without fear of being evicted. Quote, I should be allowed to keep my property in my home as much as anyone is allowed to keep any of their property in their home, Vance Jr. wrote in his complaint. The Housing Commission's weapons policy states the following. Quote, tenants are not allowed to display, use, or possess, or allow members of the tenant's household or guests to display, use, or possess any firearms, operable or inoperable, weapons such as but not limited to nunchucks, knives, swords, sabers, etc., as defined by the laws and courts of the state of Michigan, or use any object with the intent to cause harm anywhere on the property of Mount Mercy. The Grand Rapids Housing Commission operates 7 low-income housing developments, including 2 designed for families with children and 5 retirement communities for older and adults with disabilities. Carlos Sanchez, executive director for the Housing Commission, said it's a long-standing policy that is meant to protect residents of the housing developments. That doesn't make any sense. Protect them from what? You're making them defenseless. Sanchez said this is the first time he can remember the rule being challenged, but he declined to talk specifics of the ongoing litigation and said the Housing Commission's attorneys were handling it. Okay, well, you know, they will handle it. You know, the question in my mind, and I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, and I don't know a lot about the Grand Rapids Housing Commission. The question is, are they preempted under under Michigan's state firearms preemption law? I don't know to what extent they are a government entity or if they are a government entity. I don't know if they take government funds to run, but hey, all of that will come out in the trial here. I need to get a hold of Tom Lambert, I think. I think Tom could probably, give me information on that, either Tom Lambert or maybe Steve Doolin. I'm sure they could help us out with that. So I will check that out and get back to you guys next week. What else do we have here? Oh, this one caught my eye. Still close to home, Battle Creek, Calhoun County, Michigan. That is a neighboring county to where I live. Down in Joel Fulton's neck of the woods. This is from MLive again. Headline reads, Body of Woman, 74, found buried in her front yard. Police are investigating the death of a 74-year-old Leroy Township woman as suspicious after her body was found buried in her home's front yard. Now, what's suspicious about that? I mean, don't you have bodies buried in your front yard? Jeez, oh, please. Who wrote this? So, the cops think that's suspicious. Boy. Michigan State Police Detective First Lieutenant Chuck Christensen said Friday afternoon, January 18, that investigators are excavating the site while her body was found. In the yard of her home in the 10,000 block of a four-mile road in Leroy Township, south of Battle Creek, police have not identified the woman. Police are investigating the death as suspicious, Christensen said. He said police are talking with the woman's 45-year-old daughter, who he said is a person of interest in the case. Okay. Michigan State Police troopers from the Marshall Post were dispatched at 6 p.m. Thursday, January 17, to check on the woman after close friends told police they had not seen her since September? September, October, November, December. This is January. 5 months? Well, I see why the daughter is a person of interest. You don't check on mom for 5 months? What kind of a person are you? 5 months. Yeah, where's Lorraine? We haven't seen Lorraine in, 5 months now? She hasn't picked up her mail, her paper, nothing. Oh, my gosh. After receiving the initial report, troopers made contact with a family member of the woman reported missing. That initial contact with family gave troopers reason to believe that the woman was deceased, according to a Michigan State Police news release. Christensen said the death is being investigated as suspicious because of the location where the body was found. Yeah, under the ground. And because of the amount of time that passed before the woman was reported missing. This is not rocket science, boys. A dead body in somebody's yard is always suspicious, and a crime has been committed. So we'll see what happens with that. Interesting. Very interesting. You know what? They should probably check to see if this 74-year-old woman, if her Social Security checks have been cashed. That might be a good indicator. And while they're at it, they should probably check for Jimmy Hoffa. He might be down there too. Suspicious. That's putting it lightly. All right. Well, hey, we are out of time, folks. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Larry Jackson, owner of Elite Firearms in Middleville, Michigan. We'll be talking about the Smith & Wesson M&P 380EZ Compact. Going to get the stats on that, all the specs, and talk about the pros and cons of a gun like that. Okay, we got a two-minute break. While we are away, go ahead and check out our sponsors, elitefirearms.us, and also firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical. Check out FLP. I think you'll like it. All right, you got 2 minutes. Go ahead and get something good to drink, maybe a bologna and cheese sandwich. Come on back here, and we're going to be talking with Larry Jackson from Elite Firearms. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
My name is CJ Coriel. Welcome to the Home Defense Show with my dad, Skip Coriel. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking today with Larry Jackson. Larry, he is the owner of Elite Firearms and Training in Middleville, Michigan. Larry, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Skip. I'm glad to be with you.
All right. Well, Larry, I want to talk about guns today. You know a lot about guns, a lot about training. I want to pick your brain a little bit. But before we get into that, Larry, first, tell the listeners a little bit about Elite Firearms and Training. What exactly are you all about?
Well, Elite Firearms and Training started about 7 years ago. I decided that the people out there and the general public were not getting the service that they needed from your average gun store. When we sell a firearm to an individual, we give them 2 hours of free training. We tear it apart. We clean it. We make sure that they understand all the aspects of that particular firearm so that they're better able to operate it, clean it, and use it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Larry, that's one of the things I really appreciate about the way you do that. You have a paradigm where basically you tailor fit the gun to the person. So it's an intimate, it's a personal fit. Yeah, you take them right out on your range there, on your private range, and you let them shoot some of your guns. You know, because a lot of times you don't know whether or not the gun is right for you until you actually fire it.
That's correct. We had a individual that was dead set on having a .40 caliber here about a month ago, and I took him out with some of my guns that I have that we use for training, and he couldn't pull the slide back on our average 40 caliber, and so I brought out the 380 Easy, and I brought out a couple 9mm, and we figured out that he was having some arthritis in his hand, and he needed some assistance in setting the gun up. So we went ahead and set the gun up according to what his needs were, and not just selling him something across the counter.
Now, the slides, the recoil spring, how exactly does that work? I mean, I've noticed that, you know, some of the slides are easy to pull back, others are more difficult. What actually goes into making it one slide tougher than another?
It depends on how the gun is set up from the factory. The manufacturers, because of legalities, want to set it up so that the average person can shoot the gun with no problems. And so the rebound spring, they set it up stiffer. You can actually go in there if you have the proper gunsmith, and he can tweak that rebound spring, or he can tweak the slide springs. There's a lot of different things you can do to different guns. Now, I primarily sell one manufacturer of gun because they're adjustable, they're easy to repair, and they carry a lifetime warranty on them if something does go wrong.
Well, I know you sell a lot of Smith & Wessons. That's what you're talking about, Larry?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I've got Glocks in the safe and, you know, on the counter, and we've got Kimbers, and we've got Rugers, and we've got Brownings. But the ones that primarily we use and sell for personal protection are the Smiths.
Yeah. Well, you know, whenever I'm out on the range, if someone's having trouble, I'll let them, try out one of my guns. And, you know, my two carry guns of choice, I've got an M&P Shield in 9mm that I really like. And then I also have the M&P Full Frame that I really like. And you personally, you know, Elite Firearms puts all my guns together. When I get a gun, typically it'll be from you. But if it's not, I'll take it to you and say, all right, Larry, I need you to do the Larry Jackson trigger job on this. So, Larry, tell me, you know, and I'll have a lot of students, you know, they'll come to you and say, yeah, make this like Skip's gun. What exactly do you do to my gun that makes it shoot so well?
Oh, I wish you wouldn't have answered that or asked that question, because if I tell you, I'm going to have to hurt you. Seriously.
All right.
It's a lot of trade secrets go into this, mm-hmm. but the parts coming off of a mass production line are not machined perfectly and match quality stuff. So what we do with a firearm is we disassemble it. We clean all the pieces. We make sure that they're match quality, that they fit perfectly for what we're going to use it for. We might clean up the grittiness, if you will, in a trigger, say like on a Smith Shield. If you grab any shield off the market or off the shelf, when you go to pull the trigger, it's a little gritty. So we go in there and we polish and clean everything and make the settings to where when the shot breaks, it actually breaks correctly. So it's a little complicated to explain, but we just make things better.
I thought you just had a magic wand. You just wave the wand with a little pixie dust on top of it, and voila, you got a match-grade weapon. All I know, Larry, is when I send you a gun, you know, or a customer, one of my students, they will have this off-the-shelf item. You know, it's got a long, hard trigger pull. It might break too hard, not incredibly accurate. But when the gun comes back, it's smooth, it's easy, You know, the trigger break is really, really nice, and it's just a lot more accurate than, you know, these off-the-shelf guns.
If you take the average shooter, and he goes out and maybe he'll shoot 25 or 30 rounds in a given session, and he puts the gun away, or he puts it back in his holster and loads it with his carry ammunition, and he really doesn't get in tune with the firearm like he should. So what we try to do, if the gun has a 7-pound trigger pull, like some of them have, we try to make that trigger pull unique in to fit the individual's needs. If you have a lady that has little arthritis in her hand, or an older gentleman who has arthritis in her hand, they have a hard time shooting a 6-pound trigger pulled gun that doesn't have a smooth trigger. And so consequently, they're always off. They don't hit the target well, and then they get frustrated and they just don't try anymore. So what we do is we have them shoot the gun in front of us before, and then we have them shoot the gun after we get done with it, so that they know the differences, and then we go ahead and tear it apart and show them what we've done and explain it to them.
Yeah, all I know is that my gun shoots really, really well, much better than before I brought it to you. So thank you very much, Larry, and to Elite Firearms. Now, isn't your son Scott, he's a Smith & Wesson armorer, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Scott works in a different profession, and if we do have a problem child, we both get involved in it, but very rarely do we have issues with what we do. We've had one come back in the last 8 years, and we basically had to take the gun and put it back to standard because the individual is what we call a loose gripper. They couldn't grip the gun tight enough to make everything function correctly, so we took it back to a standard product, and they're just not as accurate as they could be. Another thing that we're finding is that the ladies have a hard time with the slides. So we started looking at this 380 Easy, and I'm very impressed with it. So,
well, tell me about the 380 Easy. I mean, we were out on the range a few months back, and you had one there, and I shot it, and boy, it's just an incredible gun. What are the specs on the Smith & Wesson M&P 380 EZ? That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it is. They have a three-dot white sight on it. It's the barrel is 3.675 inches. It has a matte stainless steel slide on it. It has an internal hammer. The weight on it's 18.5 ounces. It has a black polymer frame. The capacity is 8+1. The retail price on these are $399 versus something that you might get into. It's the same weight as a shield. It carries, if you are doing the 8+1, the best you can get out of the shield is like, you know, 7+1 on some of them. And then if you did the extended magazine, it's 8+1 again. But the 380 Easy is a little taller, so you don't need the extra special mag for your finger grip. It does not have adjustable sights, and it comes in two different varieties. It has, all of the varieties have a back strap safety, and some of the ones have a slide safety. I prefer the ones with just the back strap safety, because if you have a loose grip on it, then you don't have to worry about two safeties if you're carrying it for concealment. The downside to this gun, if you do not have a good grip on the gun, it will not fire. The upside to it is it shoots really well. There's very little recoil. For demonstration purposes, once we've made sure the gun is empty and the mag is out, you can hold it in your right hand, take your index finger, and you can slide the slide back with one finger on top by the sight. So it's really easy to operate, and it's the easiest one I've found around. So
yeah. Well, you know, I think that's, you know, Smith & Wesson, they designed this particular firearm with women in mind, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Women and older people that have arthritis problems, and, you know, I'm getting up there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about changing from the Shield to the Easy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, with the new ammunition today, the 380 Easy it's up there with the regular 9mm ammunition. If you carry the Plus P ARX self-defense ammunition or any type of self-defense ammunition that's of high quality, the 380 is going to be up there with stopping power with the rest of them.
Now, every 380 EZ, it's standard. They all come with a chamber that's capable of firing plus P ammo?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You know, you talk about the backstrap safety. When I went into the Marines, you know, many decades ago, we were shooting the old 45 Colts, and they had the backstrap safety on those. And, those were okay. I've seen a few people out on the range with backstrap safeties, usually 45s. They don't get the good grip, and then, it doesn't fire. And it typically happens when people get nervous. They just don't grip tight enough. But, I suppose the upside to that is it forces you to get a good grip. And that's one of the things that we teach in advanced classes, right? You know, the grip that you draw with is the grip that you shoot with. And so you have to make sure that you're following all the fundamentals. You clear the clothing, you grip, get a good grip before you draw, and then when you're shooting, and you don't have anything to worry about. But I think that backstrap safety is one of the things that women wanted, primarily because they're concerned about small children getting a hold of their guns. And so they don't want it to accidentally go off or anything like that. I'm okay with it. I love seeing more women on the range, and I love seeing them with this gun, because they can actually run this gun and operate the slide, without cramping up their hands and accidentally shooting me, which is always a plus.
Yeah, it is.
Larry, we're out of time for this segment here, but I want to pick up again with that in the segment three here. So we're going to take a little 2-minute break. While we are away, I would like you, all you listeners, to check out elitefirearms.us, learn a little bit more about Larry Jackson, see what he's all about and how he can help you and your family choose the right firearm for you the first time around. And then check out firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical and see what they can do to help you prepare in the event that you have to use your firearm for self-defense and end up in the criminal justice system. All right, when we come back again, we'll have Larry Jackson, owner of Elite Firearms. This is Skip Corriland, Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Out on the Home Defense Show. Always use guns safely and wisely. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Corriell, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Corriell.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if life was like the movies and the good guys always won? In today's world, if you're forced to use your firearm to protect yourself, you will need protection. Firearms Legal Protection is here for you. FLP provides you with seasoned, experienced attorneys that handle your criminal and civil matters as a result of you protecting yourself. FirearmsLegal.com provides its members with uncapped attorney's fees, bail bond protection, and coverage in all 50 states. We are not a reimbursement plan. You can access uncapped attorney's fees for as low as $10 a month. Firearms Legal members are provided with educational services, training videos, and access to our vast national attorney network. While you're protecting yourself, let Firearms Legal protect you.
Listen up, folks. This is important. There are plenty of legal protection services out there, but none will protect you as well as Firearms Legal Protection. This is the one I use and the only one I recommend. Visit firearmslegal.com/MidwestTactical and protect your family now.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. We are speaking with Larry Jackson. He's the owner of Elite Firearms and Training. Larry, we were talking about the 380 EZ, and I want to get back into that. But first, you are spearheading, you're the primary organizer for the Barry County Sheriff's Office Church Safety Seminar. This is the second annual seminar. We had one last year. It went great. Talk to us a little bit about what you're going to be doing at the Church Safety Seminar this year.
Well, it's different than it was last year. We are doing training classes instead of just giving everybody a little bit of information. We have 8 different types of training that we're going to offer. Each session of training is going to be about 2.5 hours long. The individual, whoever signs up, can sign up for the morning session and do, say, active shooter with a great instructor, which we all know, which is Skip. And maybe in the afternoon they decide that they want to do first aid, CPR, AED, or they want to do legal. There's 8 different things that you can do. Each one of these is, like you said, 2.5 hours long. So there's a morning session and an afternoon session. The conference is held on February 16th in Middleville, Michigan, at the First Baptist Church. I don't have the address. They're north of Middleville on M37. Starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we hope to end around 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's free to all, and the lunch is provided.
Awesome. What are we eating for lunch this year, Larry?
I think we're eating subs, and we're going to have some veggie trays. There'll be water, chips, and corn chips, and cookies, and maybe some donuts. And we haven't got the menu totally down pat yet, but it seems like it changes from day to day because we have people that want to donate, and we're kind of still in the process of putting everything together. So far, we have 53 people signed up for these classes. We have room for probably another 50. Skip's active shooter is really filling up, so there's a little disclaimer down on the bottom of the sign-up sheet that if we have both the afternoon and the morning classes filled for the one that you've picked and it's full, we'll probably move you to a different seminar. So, but you will have basically 5 hours of training on that day.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually I'm excited about that. What I'm doing for the mass shooter class, tailoring it towards, church security team, church safety teams, boy, it's going to be more hands-on. You know, it's not the basic run-hide fight. Somebody else is teaching that one. You know, we're not going to run. You're not going to hide. You're going to be fighting because you are the church safety team member, and it's not your job to hide. It's not your job to run. It's your job to run towards the danger. So we're going to be focusing on, okay, exactly how do I take out this active shooter who's running around killing women and children? So I'm excited about that, and we should have a lot of fun with that. Now, Larry, you're teaching a class as well. Tell us about that.
I'm teaching team building and policies and procedures, which sounds a little bit boring, but I try to make it very interesting. It's how to start a team, how to build a team, how to maintain a team, things that teams have to know going into this, and then the policies and procedures for the different churches. Each church is not created equal when it comes to their policy and procedures manual. So we actually, with the sheriff's office and church security unit, we actually build policy and procedures manuals for the individual churches.
So. Yeah. Well, actually, it sounds like, boy, if you're just getting started with your church safety team or you haven't even started yet, you definitely want to take that class so you know all the administrative stuff, because there's a lot involved with organizing a church safety team. It's not just saying, hey, here, you carry your gun, Frank, and we're covered. It's a lot different than that.
We visited a church 2.5 years ago, laid out a program for them, and whatever the reason, they didn't do anything with it. And a week, about a week ago, yes, or Monday, I got a call from them asking if I could come out on a Tuesday night, and they were really interested in starting a team. So I spent an hour with them, and we went over what they had to do to get started. So they're going to have their 12 people there at this conference, and we'll get them moving along like they should. Most church facilities don't feel it's that important because they feel like it'll never happen to them, and that's a fallacy. It can happen to any church, anytime, anywhere.
Yeah, that's true. It's hard to really come down on churches like that, because there's this whole, you know, the house of worship is a place of peace. It's the house of God. And, you know, historically, you know, through the centuries, bad guys have respected that, and they pretty much stay away from church. Now they're targeting churches because they're soft targets, and they're going in there to kill as many people as they can. And they might even have an axe to grind, with Christians because of their background or whatever. So, yeah, you know, just because it's never happened to you yet, I mean, how many times does it have to happen? Just the one time, right? And it's such a heinous, such a devastating effect that, boy, it's just something that you have to be prepared for. And so I'm glad we're doing that. And we also have Terry Johnson from Firearms Legal Protection coming, attorney. He's the vice president of legal operations there at FLP, and one of my sponsors. He's going to be doing a really good class, on what churches should expect, how should they prepare themselves legally, aftermath of a shooting, liability, all kinds of stuff like that. And I believe, Larry, don't we also have someone coming in to talk about insurance needs for churches?
Right. That insurance thing that was up on the sign-up sheet, we had to change. The company that we had set up decided that they didn't want to participate this year. So I'm in the process of setting up a new insurance person to do a 2.5 hour class in the morning, 2.5 hour class in the afternoon. It is a primary insurer of churches in the area. And we also have first aid, AED, CPR. We have violent intruder response, non-lethal. There's a lot going on that day.
Yeah.
So we have weather people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, hey, that is on February 16. One question, Larry. I know all of this costs a lot of money. Who is paying for all this? Where's the money coming from?
Well, it's kind of a unique situation. The Berry County Church Safety Team, which I kind of head up, and it's the one I answer to is the sheriff of the county, which is Darleaf, has no budget. So I went out and I looked for corporate sponsors, and we have three corporate sponsors that donated the money so that we could hold this program and not charge anything for it.
That's awesome. That's really great. And, of course, the sheriff's office, they're donating a lot of time, time and other resources. The sheriff's auxiliary has been on it. I think the posse is going to be there with a table or maybe help out a little bit. And then some of the regular deputies from the Berry County Sheriff's Office. And, of course, Sheriff Darleaf as well. So we really appreciate everything that they've been doing and these corporate sponsors. Well, Larry, I wanted to talk some. We talked about the 380EZ. Compare the 380EZ with the M&P shield. I think you carry a shield right now. I carry a shield. You know, it sounds like the 380 is just kind of like a modified shield in 380.
Correct. Okay. Let's just do some comparisons. All right. If you have a shield, the barrel length is 3.1 inches and the 380EZ is 3.675. They both weigh 18 and a half ounces empty. My shield that I carry has got Larry's trigger job done on it. And we polished up the slide. I am a point shooter, so I don't use the back sights. And so when you have two dots in the back that are white and you have a dot in the front that's white, the eyes can only focus on one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And what you want your eyes to focus on are the front sights. So I changed my front sight to a high-vis green. I took and changed the back sights so that I could black them out. So my gun, when you pull it up, the only thing you see is the black or the green sight or dot in the middle of a black groove, and that's where you have to put it.
Yeah.
Okay. The sights are changeable on the shield, but they're not changeable on the 380.
Oh, okay.
That being a downside. Mm-hmm. The other downside is we talked about the different safeties. The shield has a trigger safety. And you can also get it with a slide safety, where the 380EZs, you have a back strap safety and a slide safety. Those are the only two safeties on that gun. Well, it's the only two you actually need, but yeah. They are different. So weight-wise, they're the same. Grip-wise, they're the same. Now, one thing that I have on my carry piece that I could not put on the 380 is I have a grip sleeve because I have bigger hands. So I put a grip sleeve over the stock of the shield, and it makes it fit my hand better because it doesn't have removable backstrap pieces. It's just a standard backstrap, and it's non-adjustable there. So you cannot put that on the 380EZ to make it a bigger feeling gun because it'll interfere with the backstrap safety.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And actually, that was one of my next questions because I carry the same grip sleeve that you do. Actually, our guns are like almost twins. So I think they're related.
Yes, they are.
But anyways, Larry, we're about running out of time. But before we go, I want to talk a little bit about AR-15 setup because I know you guys build ARs as well. Talk about that a little bit.
Basically, the ARs are that we get, we can set up any AR platform that you want to set up. My son is a police officer, and he loves to build these things. So they come in all different price brackets, but AR platforms are AR platforms. You can add and subtract whatever you want. Some people like to have the post to hold on in the front. Other people don't like that. Other people want their lights triggered off of their grip in the back. So, you know, we custom build these ARs with barrel lengths and optics and whatever you need to put on it. We can sell it to you. The the thing of it is my AR is set up with a light, a laser, flip-up sights, an EOTech. It's had trigger work done to it. It's a custom-built gun, and the price on that is we're in a $3,500 bracket for the way the gun is set up. You know, you can get into an AR for $700, $800, but it's not going to be custom built, and it's not going to have all the bells and whistles on it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. So basically, you know, you can do whatever people want. If they come to you and say, you know, I want to cross this with that, I want this upper, I want this lower, you know, this kind of sights, you can go ahead and you can do it for them.
Right. There was a young man that had his son was going to go deer hunting for the first time last year. And he says, well, I want to buy this particular gun. And I went, no, I don't think so. We need to figure out if he can handle this, you know, if it's going to be too long, too short, whatever. So we took the gun. I took my AR out and I showed him what it was like. And we shortened up the stock and we ended up building him a 5.56 AR so he could practice with very low, inexpensive ammunition. And then we put a 450 Bushmaster upper on it, changed the buffer spring in it so that the young man could shoot it correctly. And yeah, I'm very happy with the setup that they have. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do. I personally have an AR-10 platform, which is 308, mm-hmm. 7.62x5.1, that I shoot long range, and we're shooting, what is it, 800 meters is the longest shot I've taken, and the gun's shooting 2-inch group. So it depends on what you do with the gun and how you set it up and how tight it is and how accurate it is.
Yeah. Well, sounds like Elite Firearms pretty much does whatever you want. Now, we just interviewed Michigan Ammo last week. You know, he's a friend of yours. And Mike Patrick from Michigan Ammo. And you get a lot of your ammo from Michigan Ammo. You can also you can sell to the average civilian, correct?
Correct. I sell a lot of ammunition to law enforcement. They have, of course, a different price than what the civilians do because they don't have to pay the 15% excise tax. But, yeah, I've been using Michigan Ammo for practice ammo for probably the last 10 to 12 years, and they have a great success rate. We don't have very many misfires, and usually if there's a problem, the problem is either with the shooter limp-wristing it or a problem with their gun is not set up right. But generally, overall, it's remanufactured stuff. It's not reloaded stuff. And I carry the 40 and the 9 in stock all the time for the different shooters that want to have 1,000-round quantities.
So. Awesome, awesome. All right, well, Larry, I want to thank you, number one, for organizing the Berry County Sheriff's Church Safety Seminar. That's going great. That's going to be a really, really good time. And people are going to learn a lot. But also for Elite Firearms, appreciate you being a sponsor on the Home Defense Show. That's working out great for me. It's great for you and for the people who are listening as well. So you do ARs, you do pistols, you do ammunition, and you do training as well. So, Larry, I just want to thank you for all that you do, and thank you very much. Oh, before you go, tell people how they can get a hold of Elite Firearms, you know, your phone number and your website.
All right. Skip mentioned my website. It's elitefirearms.us. You can reach me at 616-299-8715. That's a cell phone. That's the Elite cell phone. I'm open to calls anytime. If I'm not there, leave a message, and I will get back to you.
All right. That sounds great. Again, that's 616-299-8715, elitefirearms.us. All right. Larry, I want to thank you very much for being on the Home Defense Show today.
Well, thank you for having me, Skip. I really appreciate it, and it was fun talking to you.
All right. We will have you on again. Okay, folks, we got a two-minute break coming up. While we're away, check out elitefirearms.us and then also firearmslegal.com/Midwest Tactical. And then if you want to sign up for this Berry County Sheriff's Church Safety Seminar, there's a link right on my website that'll take you right there. So you go to MWTAC.com, that's Michael Whiskey Tango Alpha Charlie.com, and click on the Church Safety Seminar link. You can go ahead and sign up for any of the classes that you want. Get there quickly before space runs out. All right, folks, when we come back in segment four, I'm going to do the wrap-up, and I'll tell you what I really think. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome to my dad's Home Defense Radio Show. You're going to love it.
Hey folks, I want to tell you about my book, Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book. More and more people across the country are seeing the dangers in society and are deciding to carry concealed to protect themselves and their families. My new book lays it out step by step. It'll teach you how to protect and defend the ones you love. Get the benefit of 17 years of teaching experience and a lifetime of training for this important role in society and in your family. You can get Civilian Combat real easy. Just go to Amazon.com, search on Skip Coriel, Civilian Combat, and it'll pop right up there. Don't put it off any longer. Get Civilian Combat, the Concealed Carry Book by yours truly, Skip Coriel.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. I host Frontlines of Freedom, a weekly syndicated military talk radio show. One of my co-hosts is Skip Coriel, the host of this show. We cover things that impact military and veteran communities, and we do it from the veteran's perspective. The show is broadcast across the nation and is also available as a podcast on our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please join Skip and me weekly on Frontlines of Freedom.
This is Skip Coriel from the Home Defense Show, and I want you to have the very best handgun that money can buy. And that's why we recommend you visit Larry Jackson at Elite Firearms and Training. As a concealed carry instructor, I see people every week out on the range with guns they can't shoot properly because they didn't know what to buy. That will never happen at Elite Firearms and Training. Larry Jackson will personally fit you with your very own personal defense pistol. So call Larry Jackson today at 616-299-8715 or visit elitefirearms.us.
Skip, it's Armed America time. What do we have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
A resident of Elmira, New York, who used a shotgun to fend off an intruder will not be charged, police says. The armed citizen fired at the stranger who gained entry to the home early one morning. Pellets from the 12-gauge shotgun hit the suspect in the shoulder and upper chest. The interloper was taken to a hospital for treatment, and he checked himself out against advice of the doctors.
Thanks, Colonel. I did some research on this story and discovered that the home invader was not new to crime. Jason A. Lopez, age 33, was convicted of second-degree robbery in Chemung County in 2007 and served 5 years at the Upstate Correctional Facility in Malone, New York. He was released on parole in September 2011, and his parole ended in September 2016. Lopez is now recovering in the hospital and is expected to face charges. According to FBI crime stats, most home invasions occur between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. The reason for this is obvious. The invader doesn't want to risk being confronted by the homeowner, who may also be armed. According to home invaders who were interviewed in federal prison, their number one fear was being shot by a homeowner. Most invaders will go to great lengths to avoid homeowners, especially homeowners with guns. This particular home invasion occurred around 5 a.m., a time when most people are either home, in bed, or getting ready to start their day. Because Lopez broke into this home at a time when he knew people would be there, a wise and reasonable person must assume that he meant to do them harm. Aside from the male homeowner, there was also a woman and four small children in the home at the time of the invasion. This is why castle doctrine laws exist. Castle doctrine law in most states assumes that someone who breaks into your home while you are there is willing and ready to do you harm, thereby justifying the use of deadly force, even if the home invader is unarmed at the time. Some people are convinced that anyone who defends himself with a gun will automatically be arrested and thrown into jail. But this just isn't true. If you learn and follow the rules of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter, it is reasonable to assume that you will not be convicted of a crime when defending an innocent life inside your home. However, it's always a good idea to carry some type of legal protection just in case you make a questionable call. Firearms Legal Protection is the company I recommend. It's also a wise idea to install a wireless security system in your home complete with glass breakage sensors, motion sensors, and window and door alarms. And of course, also be armed and trained so you can protect yourself and the ones you love.
Thank you, Skip. I agree with you.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. This is your host, Skip Coriel. Always good to sit down and have a nice talk with my buddy Larry Jackson from Elite Firearms. Check out that Smith & Wesson M&P 380 EZ and see if it's the one for you. It very well could be. Okay, back in segment one, in the news portion, I read that article to you about the Grand Rapids Housing Commission, who was banning guns or any type of weapons in any of their rental properties. And I wasn't sure if they were a government entity. Well, I did a little search over the break, and I went to their website. This, you can find this at grhousing.org, and then go to their boards, to go to the boards tab. It says Grand Rapids Housing Commission Governing and Advisory Boards. The Grand Rapids Housing Commission is governed by a five-member board appointed by the Grand Rapids City Manager and approved by the City Commission. You know, it seems to me that if it's appointed by the city, and I look on their website here, it's got a big picture of the Calder down in Grand Rapids, and it's got the Grand Rapids symbol there. Boy, this looks like a city agency to me, and I would think that it's covered in the Michigan Firearms Preemption Law. But I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know, and I'm sure they'll fight it, so we will find out in court. But, hey, we will see what we will see. Okay, well, we went long again, so I don't have a whole lot of time to talk here, so I'm going to get... Oh, one thing I wanted to tell you. Tomorrow, I am excited. I have an opportunity to get some training for myself tomorrow. Two of the churches that I work with for safety teams, I brought in Craig Gray, the Krav Maga master from Grand Rapids, Michigan. He's going to talk to two of my churches about de-escalation, how to handle interviews, how to control people, you know, without stomping their face off. This whole Krav Maga thing, right? It's fascinating. You know, we did a episode with Craig Gray, and he is the highest-ranking Krav Maga instructor outside the state of Israel. And this Krav Maga thing, it's like it is the official martial art of the Israeli Defense Force. But, you know, Krav Maga, it doesn't sound Jewish at all. I mean, Maga, it sounds Irish to me. I wonder if that's similar to Krav Magoo, but you know, that sounds like an Irish egg roll to me. But hey, I'll have to ask Craig about that tomorrow when we're in our training session. That's going to be fun. I'm excited about that. I'll tell you about that next week, and maybe we'll have Craig Gray on again. We can talk about less than lethal force or, you know, all kinds of good stuff. Okay. Well, we are out of time. I'm going to get to work on my next book, Concealed Carry for Christians. While I'm doing that,
go on Amazon.com and check out Jack Pine Strong. Find out how Jack Ruger, the police chief from Jack Pine, Michigan, takes on the bad guys. And while you're on Amazon, go ahead and check out Civilian Combat as well. That's a pretty good book. All right, our sponsors. This week's show was brought to you by our sponsors, FirearmsLegal.com/Midwest Tactical. Go to Firearms Legal Protection and find out how they can protect you and your family from the criminal justice system. And then EliteFirearms.us with Larry Jackson, and he can help you get that brand new Smith & Wesson M&P 380 Easy just for you and the ones you love. All right, folks, we're out of time, so we will be back next week with Gabe Suarez from Suarez International. We're going to be talking about home defense tools, namely tactical shotguns, AR-15s, and pistols. Which one is right for you? Okay, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's episode of the Home Defense Show. Until next week, remember, your purpose in life is to find something greater than yourself and serve it. Always remember, God, family, country, in that order, it's important how you live, but it's equally important how you die. Your family and the ones you love need your protection, so train, always train, stay alert, stay alive. Until next week on the Home Defense Show, God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best in home defense.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!